So let's get back to MPN, and why don't we talk a little bit about P. Vera, and to get into that, maybe we can hear about your 75-year-old lady.
Yeah, my 75-year-old lady. So she's an interesting case. So she was diagnosed with ET back in 2006. I know you said PV, but we'll get there. So she was diagnosed with ET because she had a very high platelet count. Her hemoglobin, hematocrit were a little elevated, but didn't trigger PV in the minds of the docs that saw her. She ultimately got testing for JAK2, was found to have the JAK2 V617F mutation. And so she was treated as ET all along. She went through the drugs. She went through hydroxyurea and nigrolide, had a lot of side effects with those, was never really on phlebotomy early on, but ultimately went to busulfan. So she was treated with busulfan intermittently for a couple of years, which is an older drug, an alkylating agent. And of course, we're sometimes wary of busulfan because of the potential increased risk for disease progression to acute leukemia, because it is a leukemogenic drug. But it did a great job controlling her counts. In 2013, she didn't get any more busulfan because the doctor that didn't saw her at that time said, well, I'm a little worried about this busulfan. We have this clinical trial with a JAK2 V617F specific JAK inhibitor. So let's go on to this clinical trial instead. I think it'll be a safer option for you. So in 2013, she went on this study with the JAK inhibitor and actually did really well. Her counts were controlled for quite some time.
What JAK inhibitor?
So it's ganinitinib. It's a drug that has only been tested in a kind of a phase 1, phase 2 study across a number of different MPNs, ET, PV, myelofibrosis, as well as both JAK2 positive and JAK2 unmutated disease. And again, the reason this drug is a little bit different is you look at ruxolitinib, it does not inhibit mutant JAK2. Only the wild type, where this particular drug did inhibit mutant JAK2. The responses were kind of mixed, and taking a look at the overall clinical summary of this particular study, it just didn't seem to be any more efficacious than the existing JAK inhibitors out there. So ultimately, the drug wasn't developed any further. But she did well. She felt great. Her blood counts were under great control for 5 years on this drug, and she really, really did well. But ultimately, she started had an emergence of symptoms, namely this really intense aquagenic pruritus. She would get out of the shower and just like almost excoriate her skin. She was uncomfortable all the time. Her spleen started to grow a bit too. And so ultimately, we took her off and tried to move on to other things with her.
Before you go on, you've used that term a couple times, aquagenic pruritus. Can you talk about that?
So aquagenic pruritus. So that is kind of your classic PV symptom where you take a hot shower and you get out and you're really, really itchy. Something about the warm water just induces the itchiness. Actually, there's a nice old paper that has a map of where the aquagenic pruritus happens most commonly on the body. And you can kind of map it out with your patient. Say, here's this map of aquagenic pruritus. Is this where you're getting your itchiness? And they're like, oh yeah, it always itches there, there, and there. And it's kind of neat to show them that kind of visual representation of how they're feeling.
Wow, that's interesting. So what was the next step with this lady?
So she had been through hydroxyurea. She was on anagrelide for high platelets, but she was intolerant to hydroxyurea. So thinking about, well, what agent can we treat her with now for her disease? It was kind of out of the picture because she just had a bad adverse event with it and was just very resistant to going back on. And also at the same time, we noticed that it wasn't just her platelets that were elevated, but her red cells were elevated as well. She had a high hematocrit and high hemoglobin.